Welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Rand DeWitt, along with a man who's as likely as anyone else to be the next Speaker of the House, Tom Clark, Executive Director, Rocky Mountain Propane Association.
You could not pay me enough to do that job, tell you what.
You've been a very busy man. Yes, I know.
I have been.
And how crazy
traveling
is it?
Around.
I mean, since we last recorded, which was just before National Propane Day, October 7th, and also the 75th anniversary of the Rocky Mountain Propane Association, how crazy quickly things have gone completely off the rails at home and internationally.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. I've been gone for 3 weeks in a row. I've been traveling three to four days each week, and it's hard to get caught up on everything when you're traveling so much. But yeah, just to sit back and think of how fast things can change in just a couple weeks is pretty amazing.
Yes, see, you're learning. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. But there is a lot going on, and I'm thinking most of you listening right now already have your winter supplies ready, but if you haven't, get on it, because now is the time. There's a great supply of propane out there. Limited crop drying makes for positive propane outlook, and if you really want to get stocked up, prices are right.
Yeah, it really is. This year is going to be great for propane. There's the crop drying season has a big role into what propane outlooks are going to be, and this year the crop came out pretty dry, so we're not going to consume a whole bunch of propane for crop drying this year. You know, they're still going to be the traditional crop drying. Don't get me wrong, but in some years when we have a really wet crop drying or a really wet harvest, then the crop drying really kicks into full gear, and they consume a ton of propane in the Midwest for a lot of corn drying, but other crops as well. And this year it's looking pretty good, so that tells us that, you know, we're going to have plenty of inventories for propane. Your pricing should be really good this year, and there's gonna be an abundant amount of propane again. For, you know, the last few years we've just had a ton of extra propane, which is good for other countries because they need clean energy as well. So we're exporting a whole bunch of propane all around the world to countries that want to be as clean as the United States. So it's good for everybody. It's good for the world, but good for your pocketbook too.
Yeah, well, what else? Because you've got a lot of this information when you were in Louisville.
Yeah, should we do a little rundown of my last 3 weeks of where I've been?
Yeah.
what we've been learning.
Okay, yeah, let's hit this.
I mean, we go to all these meetings and then it's like crickets afterwards. Like nobody ever gets to talk about what people learned, what we talked about, things that should be shared with not only the propane industry, but with everybody, right? Consumers as well.
Well, that's why people come to us, because we give them the information on the state of energy.
That's right. That's our whole mission here, is to spread the good word about propane.
Okay. And you were in Louisville for the NPGA fall meeting.
Yep. So that was just this week. And, you know, Louisville's a pretty cool little place. We got to go see where the Louisville Slugger was made. We went to, actually did a factory tour, which is pretty cool. They were really it was pretty impressive, but they really talked about, you know, how many trees these guys cut down and how they, you know, they go around and replant the trees, and they're trying to be you know, good stewards of
conscientious
the, environment as well. But that was cool. But yeah, a lot of talk about renewable propane. Renewable propane is on the minds of everybody, because there's a lot of production facilities out there making renewable propane. There's a lot of people that want to get it. They don't really know where or how to get it, and that's kind of some things that were created during that meeting, or some advancements that had happened over these meetings was the Renewable Propane Committee, and really trying to connect consumers, connecting the production of renewable propane to the retailers of propane, and then all the way down to the consumer, because there are consumers out there that are looking, hey, how do I get into this renewable fuels? And propane is is renewable, and it's available to purchase this stuff. It's just trying to find the logistics side of it is what everybody needs to work out. There's really a lot of stuff going on in the renewables area. One of the things though that concerned me was even the environmentalists though are now looking at like renewables not good enough anymore. Yeah. Which was kind of scary because there's a lot of
moving the goalpost on it.
Yeah, they are. They really are. We talked a lot about the different renewable energies out there, and there's a whole bunch of them. And renewable energies is going to be the future. I mean, everybody wants some type of renewable product, and that's the problem though. Is it's still not it's not going to be good enough in the future. And it makes you wonder, like, what is going to, at what point, what's going to be good enough?
Yeah. Well, like the story you sent me over from Morningstar, the 10-year utilities forecast.
Yeah.
Talking about renewable energy to triple by 2032. They estimate that 45% of U.S. power generation will be renewable energy by 2032, which isn't that far away. And the bullish outlook they have on renewable energy growth is a primary reason they think the sector is 12% undervalued. One of the largest discounts since the 2008-2009 global financial crisis. And this crazy thing, it's leading into a sales piece. You can feel it coming.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because they talk about renewable energy growth primarily replaces coal power generation.
This is a great little story. It's talking about how much renewable energy is going to impact the markets. Like this is really a story about, you know, investing into renewable energies. But if you take a look at the numbers, because they take these charts and they make them look huge, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, look at this great growth. If you look at the numbers, the actual numbers for, and they've got like a 2023 estimate here, uh-huh, of close to 700 terabytes of, or terawatt hours. And a terawatt sounds like, I mean, that's a lot of watts. That's a bunch of energy, bunch of electricity, bunch of energy. But 750 terawatts when we are consuming around 30,000 terawatts. So it's really, we got a long, 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 long ways to go. Cause when you're not even 10%, you're way down there in the terawatts. So we've really got to bump this up, because even after 2032 at close to 2000 terawatts, and by that time, we're probably going to be consuming 40,000 terawatt hours. You're still not anywhere close to, you're not even 10% even then in 2032. So there's a lot of work that needs to go into renewables and cleaning this environment up. They just keep moving the goalposts. So I don't even know what this world's going to look like in 2032, because it's pretty wild to see the difference in policy and investor support on what will really truly happen.
And this story confuses me, the one we're talking about out of Morningstar. It says renewable energy growth also helps serve growing electricity demand. They expect, get this number, 1.4% average annual U.S. electricity demand growth through 2032. If everyone's supposed to get electric cars, how are they saying it's going to be 1.4% average annual U.S. growth?
Yeah, there's just no way, especially when you tie into the EPA emissions standards that are changing soon. Uh-huh. And I think that this is a huge story, and I think a lot of people, they look at the new cars that come out and they look cool, and the prices just keep going up and up and up. You know, if you compare the price of the most popular pickup in the world, what is that? The F-150 from, yeah, like even 10 years ago to today, the prices have just skyrocketed. And a lot of these price changes come because of the emissions requirements where the manufacturers have to keep up in the emissions standards on these vehicles, and the cost just gets out of control. And there's a new one coming up that I don't know if a lot of people even consider it or think about the future of what the EPA is going to push onto the gasoline engine emission standards.
And is this where we pivot to your trip to Detroit?
I guess we could pivot to Detroit here. So I was able to go to Roush Cleantech, which is a massive company. They've got Roush has like 4,500 or 5,000 employees. They're all around the world. They got beautiful facilities, and they make a ton of different things. Almost all of it is all like some type of transportation type of product. They have this clean tech division where they focus on clean energy in for transportation. And one of their biggest products there is the propane powered engine. It's a Ford big V8 motor, and they have this special propane system that they've developed over the years. They convert the engine, just the bare engine there at the Roush, and then they send these engines off to other places where
like
they can
Bluebird.
Put them in like a Bluebird school bus, and they drop it into the Bluebird chassis. There was a bunch of other companies that they were working with there. I saw some bread trucks from like Bimbo Breads. They were converting all those trucks to run on propane, and they got thousands. I'm talking thousands of engines stacked, ready to put these propane systems on because it's so clean. It meets the emissions that are coming out in
2032.
All the way up to 2032. So these guys have already beat that emissions game using propane in this Godzilla Ford 7.3 gas-fired engine. So that was really impressive sight to go see.
And you'd think that, okay, we always say this, if it's truly about the environment and doing better things for the environment, why isn't there much more spotlight on this? I mean, we do what we can. You sent me those pictures when you were there. It was amazing. They're on Instagram at the State of Energy. And it just seems like we're just completely disrespected, the propane industry. And, you know, again, we're not anti-electric. We're not anti any renewable or climate-friendly power. There's just an S ton of evidence that propane needs to be a bigger part of the mix if the whole idea is to improve the environment and not go broke at the same time.
Well, if you're a fleet manager and you've got anywhere from one truck to a couple thousand trucks, this has got to be on your mind of, hey, in just a couple years, because we're going into 2024 here pretty soon. And that those 2027 emissions, that's going to hit you somewhere in 26. So you're talking like 2 years from now when you go to order a truck. It reminds me back in like 2007, 2008, when they first came out with this diesel exhaust emissions fluid and the extra exhaust temperature stuff that you had to have that would bake out all the particulate matters. Mm-hmm. Trucks were like, these manufacturers couldn't even make this. They didn't have the technology. So there was some trucks that had it, some trucks that didn't. There was a whole bunch of crap that was produced. Some trucks just didn't even make it very long because the technology hadn't really been tested yet. And then as the years went by, they kind of fine-tuned it and fine-tuned it a little bit. But people in the fleet industry, they get really scared. They get really nervous when you start adding a whole bunch of extra emissions control equipment to a truck. Because when these things break down now, brand new truck breaks down, you might not be able to get a part for it because it's so new that these guys don't have parts for them yet. So people get really worried about these emission changes. And if I owned a fleet right now and I was looking at the 27 emission standards, I would be really, really worried because these things are dropping the emissions by like 60%. It's a massive decrease in the emissions on those vehicles. And if the smart thing to do right now as a fleet owner would
get on the phone with Roush,
start looking at these Roush products
now.
Get on the phone with Roush, be like, hey, I want to protect myself for the next 10 years. So let's buy this engine that runs, you know, that runs on propane that I know will meet the emissions all the way up to 2032, so that I can, you know, finally make a good decision 10 years from now about what the technology that's really working is, that's available. And propane's already been available and working for decades. So that's what I would do. And that's my recommendation. Anybody that's concerned about the EPA emission standards coming out, propane's already done it.
Yeah, propane has done it. You're listening to The State of Energy. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. We're always online at thestateofenergy.com. And we're still brought to you by the people of Mopeka.
Mopeka.
We have to thank the folks at Mopeka because it's accuracy above everything with Mopeka. They have amazing products that can help you gauge exactly how much propane you have, whether it's just a single canister or a 90,000-gallon giant tank. They can break it down to the fractions on exactly how much you have. And you use this quite frequently.
I do. Yeah, I love my little Mopeka gauge. It's great. It's super small, compact, mounts right to the bottom of your tank, and it's cool technology. It just goes to show that the propane industry is not just old and stale.
Nah.
It's pretty cool.
No, you can be you can be sitting on the toilet and want to check your phone. How much? I want to make a steak tonight. Hey, I got just enough propane. I'll be good. So go to Mopeka.com, Mopeka.com. Accuracy above everything. And you know what else is in the news? Your girl.
Oh, boy.
Your climate activist, Greta Thunberg. She was just arrested in London during a protest after disrupting a major oil conference. Is it me or is she starting to look more and more like a Muppet?
You know what was interesting? This is, she's talking about like,
yeah, I said Muppet,
the big oil. She's talking about the big oil guys and like, you're like, these guys have way too much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I did a little search on her and I found it. She's got like $28 million.
Yes. It's 18 to $28 million. The climate activist, Greta Thunberg, what is she, like 17 now, I think?
She's 20.
Whoa. Okay.
She's 20 now. And she's
looking more like a Muppet every day. And she was at the demonstration that was held on the first day of the Energy Intelligence Forum. Hey, Greta, that's why you weren't invited. And she's addressing a news conference outside the hotel earlier in the day, and Thunberg said, "We have no other option but to put our bodies outside of this conference and physically disrupt." And you got people, crazy people, gluing themselves to the roads and runways. It's, what are we doing?
All right, this report says she's got 6 houses, 9 cars, and she spends around $100,000 a month.
But it's the environment. If it's about the environment, why isn't all that money going in to help?
The sad part is all these younger people that, you know, this is kind of how the progression starts out, right? You're like, you're young, you don't have any money, so everybody else is evil that has anything that you don't have. And then we use the environment and all this other stuff to try to attack other people that are providing things that you need in your life every day. And she's making a ton of money. And you know that most of her followers are young and haven't been established yet, don't have don't even have anything close to what she has. I mean,
yeah, they're looking for someone to follow.
It's
follow the money, man. How long we've been saying this? It's about people getting rich.
It's pretty crazy. Here's the thing about like anti-fossil fuel people. There's so much other products that are produced with fossil fuels than just running your car down the road.
You want to talk about North Face?
You know, the North Face is a great story. It's been around for a while. I mean, North Face has been anti-fossil fuel for quite a while, but it's funny that almost all of their products come from fossil fuels.
Yeah, and then what was it, about a year ago, they were being celebrated by the very industry it snubbed. The Colorado-based company recently rejected an order for 400 jackets from a Texas oil and gas company because it reportedly didn't want to be associated with an industry that doesn't meet its brand standards. Even though 90 or whatever it is, 80% of what they make comes from petroleum.
They got an award for that.
Yeah, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association decided to have some fun with the situation, and they bestowed its first ever Extraordinary Customer Award to North Face, saying it appreciates the company for its abundant use of oil and gas. And Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Oilfield Services, said, to have such a large percent of what they make, probably 3/4 of the mass they ship, is actually our product. We very much appreciate it. It's hard to top the all-in nature of North Face as a customer of our product.
That's a real problem when people can't understand where that product comes from. And here's the situation that I think is brewing on us here. So we're going to try to ban everything that runs on any type of fossil fuel, knowing that there's certain things that absolutely have to run on fossil fuels. I mean, your national defense is not going to be electric. It's just not. Your big heavy trucks hauling big low, you know, big semi trucks are not going to, they're not going to be electric anytime soon. And your commercial aircraft, sorry, I don't see Delta switching over to electric airplanes anytime soon.
No, I want to hear that engine. I want to know it's going.
But if we slowly attack all of our fossil fuels, or not slowly, quickly attack them like we are right now, and you want to force all these down to nothing, the supply and demand has an economic effect to it, where if you start cutting the demand down, the supply will also go down because nobody's going to want to make this. And then the people that do need it for your North Face coats, you want to see some prices of your North Face coats go up pretty high. Start cutting down how much, you know, where this product comes from, where it's available from. This is going to happen as soon as you start cutting all this.
Our jackets are made from thrown away Starbucks cups.
What else? I mean, they're not going to be electric. They're not going to be electron, whatever, windmill based jackets.
Well, in our last couple of minutes here, let's wrap up your national tour and talk about Providence, Rhode Island and the heat pump helper.
Yeah, so the other meeting that I went to was in Providence, and there was a lot of discussion about heat pumps and how the heat pump they're being given away in some states, and there's a lot of push to get rid of your furnace and put in a heat pump. And a heat pump, we've talked about heat pumps before, but a heat pump is basically an air conditioner that runs backwards. The problem with these heat pumps is at a certain temperature, they start to become inefficient, and they cost you more money, and they actually produce more emissions than if you were to run your furnace. And it's sitting somewhere around 30 degrees or in that 30 degree range. So if you live in a climate where it gets below 30 degrees, mm-hmm. instead of running your heat pump, there's like a little toaster oven in your furnace ducking, and it comes on and it burns the air and heats your house. Well, that's super inefficient, costs a ton of money. There's a new product out. It's propane powered. It runs off of a propane powered hot water heater, and it runs that hot water through your air ducts there. And it's called the heat pump helper. It's pretty cool technology. It's dialed into your electric heat pump so that it can make the most efficient decisions for you, cost and environmentally, to heat your home efficiently and economically.
And you get a chance to hang out with LP Gas editor Brian Richeson.
Yeah, I did. I got to hang out with Brian and Brian.
Right. Actually, I should post that picture.
Probably not.
They are clubbing. They are owning P-Town. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Randy Witt, and we're always online at thestateofenergy.com.